I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Before, he used to talk about by the grace of God, I am what I am. Remember, he became, but by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus and faithful. They're the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace. That's charis and irene, that's the Greek words. Grace to you and peace. Now, that was a common statement to say peace, you know, peace be to you. Because in the Hebraic things, it was shalom, shalom to you, which meant favor, peace, blessings, health, good, all these things that were good for you. And here he says, grace and peace to you. But listen to what he adds. Not just from himself, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's telling you, and I think when you read this, when we read this letter, you're reading it, you're a recipient of the New Testament, you're reading it, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beginning with verse 3, it's broken up in English because it's one gigantic long sentence beginning in verse 3 in the Greek. And it goes all the way through, all the way to verse 14. One long sentence in the Greek. Mostly long participles, and it's very difficult to break up. And so this is very high Greek writing, very, very intelligent, very high Greek writing. The Apostle Paul wrote in very high, lofty Greek language. But let's break it down. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, you're blessing him. What does the word blessed mean? It's eulogia. It means good words. Good words you say about God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's given us good words with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies. It reads, he's blessed us with everything in the heavenlies, in Christ. Notice all the blessings come in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the word, the Greek word foundation means like you're laying the cement, like you're laying the foundation. You're spreading it out, getting the foundation laid. Before he laid that foundation, he says, just that he chose us in him, in Christ. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. Holy, hagio, mean holy, meaning worthy of being able to worship God. You're holy because, you know, you can't worship God unless you're holy. He doesn't accept unholy worship. You have to be holy to worship God. That we would be blameless, holy and blameless. The word blameless means spotless, without spot. It's the same word that means unblemished. When you used it for the Passover lamb, it meant unblemished. You and I have to be holy and unblemished before him. Now, the verse 4 is a difficult, because now we have the word in love. In love. And so most, and so does the New American Standard, does this, in love, and then you go right into verse 5, he predestined us. We were to be holy and blameless before him, but the word in love is still in verse 4, but most people, this is the way the translation from the Revised Standard Version just goes right on. It says, "In love, he did this. He predestined." He puts verses 4 and 5 together because it's one long sentence, and you have to break up this long sentence of Paul's into shorter English words, or you just it'd be very difficult to translate. In love, he predestined us to the adoption of sons. He prioritized us. He predestined us. He predicted us. He predestined us to the adoption of sons. What did he predestine us to? To sonship, to the adoption as sons through, how do we get there? Through Jesus Christ. He predestined us to adoption as children, as his sons and daughters, to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the kind intention, to the blessings, to the wonderful blessing, the kind intention of his will. Kind intention. God has a will. He is so gracious in that kind intention. And verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. All of that, you and I, adoption of sons. God gives us every blessing in the heavenlies. He's blessed us with this. He's adopting us as sons, as children, as his children, sons and daughters, by the way, sons and daughters. He's predestined us to this adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the kind, wonderful, beneficent blessing and intention of his will. God has a will. He can do something ahead of time. To the praise of the glory, in verse 6, of his grace. To the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed. Now that word bestowed in verse 6 is means to cause to be the recipient of some benefit, to bestow a favor, to favor highly. You know, when Mary was such, you have found favor. This word, this Greek word is karito, like a charis, like it means to cause somebody. It's an adaption from the word charis, which is grace. And you've adopted to be highly favored, to be blessed. You know, when Noah was chosen in the Old Testament, he found, what did he find with God? Favor with God. You find favor. This is a favor. And so the way this could be, that God's great favor, you could translate it, to the praise and glory of God's great favor, with which he freely favored us through his beloved Son, in verse 6. He favored us in or through, by his beloved. Without the beloved, without Jesus Christ, there's no favor. There's no adoption of sons. We are adopted of sons. We get our sonship because of Jesus Christ's sonship. We get our favor because he favored the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins and trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. He lavished that grace on us. His favor he left. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, verse 9, according to the kind intention. Once again, his wonderful intention toward us, which he has purposed in Christ. So in time past, In time past, he has given us the kind intention of his will. He purposed it in Christ from ages before, even before the foundation, the laying of the foundation of the world, the riches of his grace. Parallel scriptures to this part. Who are we? Who are we as Christians? Who are we? We are God's children, favored from long ago that he would do this. And he would make us holy, blameless. In love he did that. He predestined us. In love he made us as the adoption of sons. According to his own kind, wonderful, God is so wonderful and kind intention to us. It's to the praise of God's glorious grace and his favors that he has given us his favors. And he's done it in Christ Jesus, the beloved. According to the riches, okay, he's forgiven us through Jesus Christ's blood. We have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now, Paul uses that term riches in the book of Ephesians several times, dropping down to verses 18 through 23, where he says this, because I'm not going to take the whole time for reading Ephesians here. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? And what is the surpassing or incomparable great power for us who believe? What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Wow. The surpassing greatness of his power, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of power to us, toward us who believe. These, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the ages to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, in order in the coming ages, in verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. In the coming ages, in the age to come, the great time after Jesus, when Christ comes, the coming ages to come, we're going to be singing about the riches of his grace. We're going to be talking about the riches, the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Okay, verse chapter 3, dropping down to verse 7. Of which things I made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. See, he was a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. I'm supposed to preach to all these people the almost, you can hardly fathom it. You can hardly dig down to the bottom of it. You can hardly explore it. The riches of Christ. And bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities, even in heavenly places. This in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you go on down, he reads it all the way down to verse 19. I won't take time to read all of that. This grace was given him, and the Father has granted him all these things. So we are here, you and I, we are with God. We are Christians. We are called. We are blessed through the grace of God, according to his kindness of his will, which he purposed so long ago. And only God can purpose and call things way out ahead of time. Only God can do that. Yahweh can do that. Now, the word grace came to be grace and peace. When Jesus told the disciples, when you go to a house, I'm going to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 5. He says, whenever you enter a house, first say shalom to the household. Or as the Christian Standard Bible reads it, whenever you enter, first say peace to this household. So peace was a thing. Grace and peace became a statement. And the word favor, the word charis in the Old Testament, the closest thing to the word, to the Greek word charis, is the word chen, C-H-E-N, in the Old Testament Hebrew, which meant favor. What did Noah find? He found favor. What did Mary find? Oh, you are favored with God. God gives you a favor. God grants you have favor with God. We like to have people grant us a favor. When you go to the throne of grace, what are you asking God for? Hey, God, I need a favor. I need a favor. Yeah, so it's these passages are like a favor. You see, much nearer to Paul's use of the word charis is the word also acceptance that's used in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60 and verse 10. Isaiah 60 and verse 10. He says, foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, and in my favor I have had compassion on you. Now he's talking to Israel here. So Zion will be glorified. In my anger I struck you down, in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor. Isn't it nice that God balances out his striking you with his wrath with the favor to restore you? And this is what the Bible says in the book of Psalm 44, verses 1 through 3. You see the word favor here, the word chen in the Hebrew. For the choir director, Maskell of the sons of Korah, O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us the work you did in their days. In the days of old, you, with your own hand, drove out the nations. Then you planted them. You afflicted the peoples. Then you spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own land, then their own arm did not save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. This is in verse 3. You favored Israel. God favored them. And perhaps still even a closer parallel can be detected in this word kindness, which is hesed, and you'll see it in the book of Exodus. You remember Exodus, the Ten Commandments chapter 20. And what does God say in chapter 20 of Exodus? He says that that he will have kindness toward those, in verse 6. Listen, you shall not worship the, this is in verse 5. Now, you shall not worship the eternal, you shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the eternal God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those that hate me. But verse 6, but showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. God's graces, God's favors. So we have grace. But what about law? Is law a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. Law is a good thing. In the book of Psalms 119, you see here the essence, really, of legalism. It's the essence of it. But it's about all these things. See, man has a duty. What is man's work to do? Psalm 119 is a psalm that begins a certain section, so many verses, first 8 verses under the Hebrew word, letter Aleph, then Beth, then Gimel, then Dalet, and he goes right down, then He, then Va, and so on. All these Hebrew letters. 8 verses under each of the Hebrew letters, all the way down to the end. And they're all praising how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. I'm reading Psalm 119. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek with all their heart, seek them with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. What's man's job? To walk in the way of the Lord, the way of the law. The law is our guide. Can we do it perfectly? No. Has anybody ever done it perfectly? Only Jesus. Otherwise, everyone has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why God has to establish his great grace to overlook these sins, to let us continue to work. But the law is a wonderful gift. It's one of God's great graces and favors. The law is a great favor. Righteous judgment, proper living, proper conduct, fairness, equality, goodness, all these things are in the way of God's law. From that law, we have all the right things of judgment and proper thinking of what's right and wrong, what's true and false, what's good and bad. We learn that. We learn to walk in those laws. We learn to walk in that way. That law is what man is supposed to do. We're supposed to follow it. We're supposed to live by it. But that man has the law to keep is something for which only God has to be thanked. We thank God for this. And you'll see in Psalms here, I learn more, he says, I have more wisdom than all these other people, these teachers, because I follow your commands. I have more understanding because I understand, I follow your ways, your precepts. I have more understanding. So the law is a wonderful thing. And it's our way of walking in the narrow paths of righteousness and life. But we can't do it perfectly. We can't do it. So in order to be holy, to come before God, in order to be spotless, blameless, and unblemished before God, God has to throw into us his great mercy, his great plan to bring us into his family, to bring us into his sonship. Now, grace is such a wonderful concept. It is probably one of the greatest teachings of the New Testament, the gospel of grace. We are told to what in 2 Peter? To grow in what? Grace. That is, to grow in, not in grow in unmerited pardon. I mean, let's go out and sin as much as we can so we get some more unmerited pardon. No, that's not what it means. It's to grow in grace. In all of God's greatness and God's graciousness and all of his loving kindnesses. We're supposed to grow in that, not to fail it and not to fall short of the grace of God. We can't come up short on it. We have to be like God in his graciousness. And so grace being a wonderful concept, and Paul talks about this grace, and he has to even say in his own writing, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Should we go ahead and break the law? Should we do the same? He said, oh no, I don't mean that. May it never be. So one of the great warnings of the New Testament, it's a great warning here in the book of Jude, and it's a condemnation warning. It's not only a great warning, but it carries with it condemnation. Here's what Jude says in Jude 1. He's a bondservant. He says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. And beloved, I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. I felt the necessity to write to you, this is Jude in chapter 1 and verse 3, to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. The faith meaning the body of beliefs, the proper beliefs. And verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, stealthily, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God. Could there be anything more beautiful than the grace of our God? They have turned it into licentiousness. License to do whatever you want to do. License to break God's law, license to be evil, license to do harm, license to be nasty, license to do all the bad things. They have turned it into licentiousness, and they deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So a strong warning. They have turned the grace of our God, something so awesome, so precious, so wonderful, that they would do this. We are supposed to walk in grace. We're commended to the grace. We are hearing about the gospel of the grace of God. Every letter begins, grace to you and peace. From our Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last letter, the last book, the last words of the whole Bible, the last words of the whole Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I'll just begin verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The last words, the last verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Those are the last words you'll ever read in the whole Bible. You read it all the way through. And this is what he says at the end. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. It was a common word. In one of the passages, it was, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So when you're going about it, when you're going about life, you ask yourself, I have been chosen by God's graciousness, by the riches of his grace in his great kindness toward us. And the Bible exhorts you, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.